Unpaid Dramas present The Case of the Devil's Derringer, a dramatization of the seventh in the remarkable and fascinating series of detective stories by Mr. H. Ashton Wolfe, formerly a member of the Sûreté, the French Detective Police, and assistant to Dr. Bertillon, founder of the modern criminal identification system. This most unusual series of mysteries entitled The Return of Ashton Wolfe are now being featured in the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now, to Ashton Wolfe's baffling story of the case of the Devil's Derringer.
Merci, monsieur. I had spent an unusually busy 12 hours working in the laboratory. That night, I was asleep as soon as my head hit the pillow. I had only been asleep an hour, it seemed to me, when I was rudely awakened by the incessant ringing of the telephone. Hello, hello. Ashton Wolfe speaking.
Oh, this is Level One. Something ghastly has happened at last myself. The chief is on his way out there now with Voltaire and Lawton. I'll be around to pick you up in 10 minutes.
What the devil is it this time, Francois?
We don't know yet. Maybe suicide, maybe murder at the house of one Jose Mandel. Hurry and get dressed. Wear your topcoat, it's raining. I'll see you in 10 minutes.
Very good, I'll be ready.
Ah, there you are, Wolf. Come up here. We'll go in through these French windows. The victim is here in the library.
Pretty horrible case, Level, what tells me.
Yes, go on in and see for yourself. There. There's the victim in that armchair under the light. Look him over.
I see. Coffee pot and cups on the table. Dressed in pajamas and a dressing gown. I see a bullet wound on the left breast and a .45 Colt revolver beside him. That tells the whole story. Suicide.
You think so? Look more closely. Pull aside his pajama coat.
Oh, dear. He was wearing a bulletproof vest. Made of finely meshed chain mail.
Yes, but look closer, Wolf. Now,
what in the name of heaven made that? A perfect circle of round dents. 6, 7, 8 of them. And in the center of the circle, that triangular-shaped wound.
Here, look at these. 3 flattened out lead bullets.
Yes?
That's what dented the vest of chain mail. But I cannot imagine how any man could hold a pistol so steadily and shoot with such fine accuracy as to form that perfect circle.
But that wound in the center in the shape of a triangle, did a bullet make that also?
I don't know. These 3 bullets had stuck in the chain mesh, and I picked them out.
I see.
One bullet did penetrate and enter the body. The others fell off in his lap.
Well, they must have been fired from a distance because I don't see any powder burns. 8 bullets fired in a perfect circle.
Oh, there is one powder burn.
Yes.
You see? Here on the outside of the pajama coat. That came from his own revolver. That Colt down there with only 1 shot fired from it.
But why put a shot into him from his own revolver? Maybe he wasn't dead yet and cried out.
No. That won't do, Wolf. The butler, who is the only servant, heard only 1 shot.
That's strange. Only 1 shot. How about the others? Those 8 in the circle. They must have made a devil of a noise.
I would think so. Now, come over and look at this French window.
Yes? What? Still more surprises? What next?
There, you see that? A nice circular hole cut in that pane of glass.
Now, that's the first time I've seen a murderer cut out the window glass before shooting.
It's obvious that the window would have caused the bullets to deviate. Therefore, making such mathematical shooting in a perfect circle impossible.
You are right. And the shots coming from this distance explain the absence of powder burns.
But all this is only a minor part of the mystery. Look at this little piece of torn paper. I found this under the dead man's hand. Read it.
Well, it is not all clear here. Vengeance, risen from the grave, to have my share, pay off an old score. A way you know from...
It means this murder is the culmination of an old grudge.
Ah.
If we are to believe the suggestion on this little piece of paper.
Yes, I see. Risen from the grave. Seems to point to a former crime, a murder perhaps.
That's right. But the person thought to be dead or murdered is really alive and bent on regaining a share of something or other and getting his revenge in a way known to Mendes, the dead man there in the chair.
Ah, that throws an entirely different light on the case. Now I have it. Mendef was expecting someone. He sat in the chair, waiting through the night, drinking the coffee here to keep awake. His revolver in hand, waiting.
Waiting for what? What I want to know is, what kind of a creature looked in that window?
A creature?
Exactly. Isn't it incredible that a big, powerful man like Mendef there should have allowed himself to be disarmed and shot with his own revolver without any attempt to resist?
You are right, Lucas. Why should he have sat perfectly quiet while the window pane was being cut by an ordinary burglar?
That's it, why?
Yes.
He was sitting in the shadow. Whereas the light from the shaded lamp beside him shines directly on those windows.
Ah, I notice that now.
That means he could see his visitor, this creature, before he himself was visible, and therefore could have easily shot him.
Then why the devil didn't he?
Because the merest glimpse of the face peering in that window scared, absolutely terrified Mendes. He was paralyzed with fear and was murdered before he could lift a hand to save himself.
Mon Dieu. Then what kind of a creature was it?
One would think the murderer was blind or drunk. See, he upset that box of cigars and walked on some of them.
Yes.
He overturned a floor lamp over here and got tangled up in the wire.
Yes.
Now, he didn't simply step out of it, but kicked himself loose, snapping the wire. And see, See here where he pawed along the wall trying to find the door.
Yes, I see those marks. Blind, drunk, it's impossible. No drunk, to say nothing of a blind man, could shoot so true as to form that perfect circle of shots.
Certainly it is impossible. No ordinary human being fired those shots. It's little short of miraculous. Furthermore, the murderer shuffled or staggered as he walked, spreading muddy footprints all over the carpet.
While Mendeth sat passively waiting? No. The unknown creature fired the shot that killed Mendeth first, and then made his circle of bullets and that triangular wound afterwards.
Look at that Colt revolver closely. See the bloody fingerprints on it?
Yes.
The blood from the triangular wound. That proves he must have made the circle and the wound.
Well, I don't... Wait one moment. What is it?
Huh? Got it. A woman did this, Dr. Lovell.
Oh, that is right. Woman. We found her footprints approaching and leaving the house.
Yes, they were a bit blurred from the rain, but you can see them. She was wearing some kind of thin rubber-soled shoes. We followed her trail to the back porch where she climbed up a trellis and got in Mendeth's bedroom.
That is right, because she rummaged about. Hunted through his clothes, found the key that opened the strong box inside a cabinet. Mm-hmm. Then she went back across the garden, let herself out through the gate, and got away.
Good work. Let's go up and examine that bedroom at once. I cannot compliment you on your deduction level. This girl came here sometime before the murder was committed. Very shortly before the rain started, I should judge.
Yes, you're right. The footprints show that. The dust and earth on them is dry.
Right, Wolf. She worked quickly and quietly. Knew exactly what she wanted and was certain where she would find it.
Well, then she worked up here while Mendeth sat downstairs intently awaiting the mysterious creature.
That's right. She worked so quietly, Mendeth did not even hear her. But after the murder, the creature came up here.
Yes. His larger footprints almost obliterate the girl's smaller tracks. He evidently wanted the same thing the girl came here to get. Yes, there is the key to the strong box on the floor.
He did not need it, because the girl had already opened the box ahead of him.
Ah, yes, yes.
Is there anything left inside the box, Lebovar?
Well, I was so anxious to report what I had found, I didn't bother to look.
Wait. There is something left here.
Oh?
See, this little sheet of notepaper with a message. You read it, Dr. Lokar.
Thank you. I have taken it, but you shall have your share, never fear. Thief, liar, and murderer though you are.
Hmm.
I intend to work at it honestly, and what there is in the cash shall be divided equally and as soon as possible. Sign G.
Yes, and notice there is the same circle of eight dots and a triangle in the middle, which corresponds to the mark on the dead man.
Yes. Well, that sign must have some religious or mystic meaning, eh?
Undoubtedly. But let's go out and go over the garden very thoroughly again.
We found more blundering, staggering footprints of the unknown creature that led to the garden wall, where there were lots of marks and displaced cement where he had climbed over. Then on the other side, we found double sets of footprints, proving there must have been a man with the unknown creature. There were signs also that the man had helped the creature over the wall. For the next few days, we were all feverishly busy, and then...
Now, gentlemen, here's put together all the evidence we have rounded up.
Yes, sir.
The murdered man's real name was Sebastino Jimenez, and not Jose Mendez. He came from Port-au-Prince in Haiti.
That is correct. The authorities there report the fingerprints found in the house belonged to a man named Deneville. That the dead men, Jimenez, Deneville, and another chap named Garcia were all in some venture together.
Well, yes, the location of buried treasure that once belonged to the planters of Haiti, who hid it when the natives revolted. The planters left a parchment map which was lost for many years.
And as I understand, Jimenez, Deneville, and Garcia found this map and went into partnership to find the buried treasure.
Yes.
But Jimenez stole the map and started to flee the country, but was caught in the act by Deneville.
That is when the fight occurred. Jimenez, the more powerful of the two, beat Deneville unmercifully and pushed his battered body off a cliff. Jimenez then escaped to this country.
Gloating over his treachery and confident that Deneville was dead.
He had every reason to think so, because the Haitian papers carried stories of his murder and subsequent burial. But it was another body they buried, because Deneville's trusted servant, Louis, found his master at the foot of the cliff and nursed him back to life, but as a horrible cripple.
As a cripple, may we. Risen from the grave. That's what was written on the paper found in the murdered man's hand. It was the sight of the cripple's twisted face and body that paralyzed him in that with fear, so that he could not lift a finger to save himself.
But wait, we are ahead of ourselves. What about the girl?
She was the sister of Garcia, the third partner in the buried treasure combine. When Jimenez fled to this country with a map, Garcia and his sister Mariposa followed him and tracked him down.
Yes. She stole into the house that night and escaped with the map of the buried treasure.
Mariposa, you mean?
I have had Lawton out trying to pick up that trail ever since. Excuse me one moment.
Surely.
Hello, Dr. Lockhart speaking.
Yeah, this is Lawton. Come at once to the railway station and hurry. I have found Garcia and his sister. They are leaving on the night express for Marseille. Hurry, it leaves in 10 minutes.
Very good, Lawton. Get a drawing room compartment in the same carriage as Garcia. Or as near as possible, we'll be there. Goodbye.
Yes, they're in this car. Up ahead in two compartments. Garcia has one, his sister the other.
The only other people in this car are first a priest in the next compartment, then a very old nun who has the next compartment to Garcia.
Good. The fellow Garcia is his sister. They may lead us to the neighbor, the couple murderer. Look, that sounds like a revolver shot.
A woman screamed.
Someone has told the emergency corps to stop the train. Come on, quickly. Something is wrong.
Quickly. Quickly, my brother's been shot, murdered.
All right, mademoiselle. Try to be calm. We are police officers. Where is your brother?
In the atmosphere.
Not a level wire. In there, quickly. Mademoiselle, where were you when the shot was fired?
In my compartment. I heard the shot, ran out and went to my brother's door and opened it.
Steady, mademoiselle.
Please,
then you pull the emergency cord to stop the train.
No, monsieur. I did not do that. I screamed.
Wait, mademoiselle. Did you see anyone in the corridor?
Yes. As I looked out, the old nun had just gone by.
The old nun? Wolf, quickly.
Yes.
Knock on the door of the priest there.
Dr. Lecarte.
Yes,
Dr. Lecarte. Manuel Garcia is dead.
Yes.
Killed exactly the same way as Jimenez.
Yes.
The circle of eight bullets, the triangular wound.
Wait. That priest is not there. The priest has gone. The room is empty. Of course, what fools we are. Hurry, get off the train. Find the priest and the nun.
Come on,
they pull the emergency cord to stop the train and give them a chance of escape. Norton, stay here and guard Mademoiselle Garcia.
Hurry up, all of us together. There we go. There they go. There they are, heading over there, across the field, up there, toward the road. They won't pay any attention to my order to halt.
All right, start shooting.
Halt in the name of the law. Halt, I say, or I'll shoot.
All right, Wolf, that's enough. That stopped them. One has fallen. Come on. Who is he?
It's the nun we hit. Turn the beam of your flashlight. There. It's just as I thought, a clever disguise.
Yes, it's the crippled man, all right. Look. Here is the weapon he used in those murders, right here in his hand.
It is my master, Monsieur de Neville. You have killed him. Killed him.
You are his servant, Louis, then.
Yes.
All right, that's enough. Take him and the body back to the train. Our case is closed.
Yes, that was the case of the devil's Derringer. The Derringer was an early type of pepperbox pistol with eight small barrels. The shots fired simultaneously by the firing pin striking all together. From the center protruded a triangular-shaped dagger. This was the strange weapon that caused the wounds that so puzzled us. The murderer carried it wrapped up in a mantilla, and that is why the powder burns did not show.
Well, it's a weird and exciting story, but to get all the full detail, excitement, and color, everyone ought to read the story for himself. It will be featured in The Return of Ashton Wolfe in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Thank you.